We pray before we begin.
让我们一起在开始前做个祷告。
Father, we thank you so much for the gift of your word and the privilege of being your servants.
天父，我们真是感谢你给我们的礼物，给我们的特权，来到你前。
And we thank you for your Holy Spirit, Lord, who gives us insight and the power that we need to live for you.
也感谢你赐下的圣灵给我们力量，能够在你的面前成活。
Unite your word and your spirit in our hearts today that we might be doers.
你联合我们和你的话语在一起，那今天我们可能就能成就。
And we thank you, Father, for what you'll accomplish in Jesus' name.
也感谢你的一切成就，以及一些耶稣基督名祷告。
Amen.
Amen.
Man. Let's see. It's been a while since I've been here. I'm having a hard time figuring things out.
我来这里好像已经有一段时间没有来这里了。
There we go. Just a little story to tell you to start.
一开始之前，我们来讲一个小小的故事。
The story goes that a church elected a new pastor to come and shepherd them, and so he came his first Sunday.
有一个教会，他们招了一个新的牧师，那这个新的牧师有一个主日，他来第一次的布道。
And when it came time for him to preach, he gave a tremendous message.
那他来了之后呢，他讲了一个非常非常好的一个信息。
And everybody was, they were just completely wowed. It was so good.
每个人都被惊艳到了。
It was true to the scriptures.
非常真实，遵循那个他的经文。
It was well illustrated.
也非常展现得非常好。
He had the proper dynamic in his preaching.
他也非常有动态，也非常非常激动。
This is going to be a great pastor.
大家都想这是一个非常好的牧师。
So everybody was really excited the next Sunday when they came to church because they were going to get to hear this wonderful preacher again.
那所以会众在下个星期就非常的激动，想要再次听到很好的信息。
And as he got started, they go, this sounds familiar.
他们来了之后听了一下，觉得这好像听上去很熟悉。
And it was a great sermon.
Great sermon. 是篇很好的布道。
But it was the same sermon he'd preached the week before.
但是同一篇布道就是在一个星期之前的。
And they go, oh, I thought that sounded familiar.
所以为什么听起来那么熟悉？
And so the next week they were still excited about having this new pastor, but they were kind of curious as to what they'd get that day.
他们仍旧非常的兴奋，因为有这位新的牧师，但他们很疑惑，他们那天到底看的是什么？
And their worst fears were realized.
在这之后他们就意识到。
It was the same sermon.
他们那个是同一篇布道。
So after the service, one of the leaders in the church came up to him and said, Pastor, that was a great sermon.
那在崇拜之后，有一位教会的领袖，他就来到前面跟这个牧师说，那是一篇非常好的布道。
But when are you going to preach a new one?
但是你什么时候能有一篇新的呢？
He said, as soon as you start doing what I preached in the first one, then you'll get a new one.
那牧师说，你只要马上你按照我所布道的信息去做，那我就会有篇新的布道出来。
And you know, that's part of the problem sometimes.
这也就是我们往往会存在的一个问题。
Wrong way with this. There we go. Okay. The problem is that sometimes we begin to think of church as just a place where we come and we sit and we listen to a message and we go home.
我们往往的问题是教会成为我们一个来做听一篇布道然后回家的地方。
And we begin to kind of lose focus a little bit on what exactly we have been called to do as God's people.
我们往往会迷失我们的重点在哪里，我们是被神召唤来做他的门徒，做他的人的。
And so this morning, I'm preaching on this topic, the church or discipleship.
所以今天早晨我这篇布道的主题就是教会呢，还是门徒？
Now some of you may think, I've heard some of this before.
你们有些人可能会觉得，我以前听到过这篇。
And you would be right, because this is something that I've preached on many times over the 15, 20 years I've been coming here.
你们是 也许是对的，因为这个主题在我15到20年来到这里，我也不断的在提。
But several things have happened in the recent past that have really begun to make me think more how important this message really is.
但是最近发生的事呢，就是让我感觉这一篇的主题是多么的重要。
The first thing is that at our American church that I'm at in Champaign-Urbana, I'm an elder at the church.
在美国的教会，就是在香槟城那里的那所教会，我是那里的长老。
And every year we have an annual retreat for the leadership, and we begin to plan what we're going to do for the next year and try to figure out, are we going the way the Lord wants us to go?
每年我们都会有要为退休会有个计划，那么我们都会讨论，那今年是去哪里，或者是叫邀请谁来。
And I brought up this topic of discipleship.
那么今年就有，我们就讲到了这个关于门徒训练的事情。
And I threw out the question. I said, how are we doing discipleship?
那我就提问了，我们怎么来做这个门徒训练？
And one person said, well, I'm not sure.
有一个人就说我不太确定。
And another person said, well, I guess we're doing it, but we're just kind of doing it organically.
另外一个人说：“我猜我们已经在做了我们只是在非常自然的就做出
Which in my mind was, we're kind of doing it, but we're doing it accidentally.
来。”在我的想法里面，就是我们是在做对，但是我们是非常随机的，偶尔的在做。
And I began to quiz these men on the question, what is discipleship and how should we be doing it?
所以我就问他们：“我们门徒训练究竟是什么？我们到底该怎么做？”
And they've been part of this church much longer than I have, and they couldn't really tell me.
他们其中部分人比我在那个教会的时间还长，但是他们仍然没有能够告诉我。
And then last week I was talking with a friend who goes to another local church in Champaign, and we began talking about this subject as well.
上周我与另外一位朋友，他是去另外一个美国教会的，也讨论了这个问题。他也不能告诉我门徒训练是什么。
And he said the previous Sunday night they'd had a church business meeting and everyone came.
他告诉我在前一周，他们教会也有召开了一个会议。
And the pastor and the leadership said, this year we are going to emphasize discipleship.
那教会的领导和长老们都在那里非常兴奋地说，今年我们要着重于训练我们门徒。
But my friend said they didn't define it.
但是我的朋友说，他们没有定义什么是门徒。
They didn't describe what they were going to do.
他们没有描述他们该怎么做。
And while they may have a very good plan, everybody kind of left scratching their heads going, so what is discipleship?
他们可能有很好的计划，但是每个人都在疑问究竟什么是门徒训练。
And the problem is that when the Church of Jesus Christ forgets what it means to make disciples, the church begins to crumble.
问题就在这里。那在基督的教会，如果都在疑问什么是门徒，那这个教会就会垮掉。
And when I became a Christian as a college student at the University of Illinois back in 1973, the man who helped me begin to grow in my faith emphasized discipleship was an absolute essential.
在1973年，我刚在大学里面成为基督徒的时候，那领我成为基督徒的那个人，他就反复强调过，门徒训练是基督教里面着重的一个重点。
He took Matthew 28:19. Where it says, you shall make disciples of all the nations.
他就引用了马太福音的第28章19节那里，他就说：“你要使万民做我的门徒。
And he says, that applies to you, Mike. You must make disciples of all the nations.
”他也就跟我说：“Mike，你就是那一位，你要去使万民做我的门徒。”
And that has been the foundation for my ministry for the last 45 years.
这也是我在过去45年服侍的一个核心，
But he got one thing wrong.
但是有一个，
Because it wasn't just said to the individual Christian.
这个不是针对某一个或者是单独的基督徒，
Jesus was saying this to the entire church.
耶稣是对所有的教会。
So he basically said, Neiman, make disciples of all the nations.
他是说你们是所有的人要去做招人做耶稣的门徒。
Oops, I'm still not figuring this out. And so the most important thing for us to remember is the church is not being called to just make converts, but to make disciples.
所以我们就要明白清楚教会不是被要求去使人看医，而是被要求使人去招人成为门徒。
And as a congregation, as a church, we must understand what that means.
那作为整个教会的话，我们就要明白这到底是意味着什么。
And again, if I gave a quiz this morning to see how many of you remember what I've taught on several times over the last few years, you probably wouldn't remember a lot of it.
如果我问你们，大家在过去的几年里面，我讲了些什么，你们可能当中有些人能够记得。
But what I want to do this morning is look at three biblical metaphors to help us better understand what it means to make disciples and how it is we can begin to accomplish that mission.
那今天早上我们就来看一下圣经里面提到的三个比喻，让我们看看这三个比喻怎么能够来帮助我们理解，怎么能够成为使人成为这个门徒训练。
So the first metaphor that we get in the scriptures actually comes from the command itself to make disciples of all the nations.
第一个其实也就是耶稣给我们的使命，让万民要做我的门徒。
In a sense, that metaphor is the church as an academy or a school.
这个比喻里面就把教会比喻成了一个学院或者是一个学校。
As a matter of fact, in the Old Testament, when a rabbi, when a prophet would gather a group of men around him and begin to teach, they would call it a school of the prophets.
在旧约里面，那么当这个祭司他们或者是教师他们把所有的人聚集在一起教他们道的时候，他们往往就把那个称为是，往往称为就是一个学校。
And one of the things that Jesus says, just as he's being taken up into heaven, he says, make disciples and teach them to observe all I have commanded you.
就是当耶稣在升天的时候，他也教导说，使人做我的门徒，教导他们我所教导你们的。
And so it's important that we keep in mind that the teaching is an essential part of what it means. It's not an option, it's a command.
所以我们就要明白，教导是个命令，而不是一个选择。
And it's not just supposed to be a program in the church, but it's supposed to be something which permeates everything we do in the church.
这不是教会的某一个计划，而是教会所应该、所要、最重要的一个关注点。
And you think, well, we do that every Sunday, right?
那我们就会想，我们每个星期不都在做吗
？We get someone like me to stand up here and to teach you, and if it's a good sermon, everybody goes, wow, that was great.
那每个星期不都是请我像我这样的来教导一篇道，然后如果这篇道非常好的话，大家都会觉得非常兴奋。
Or they might go, no, that was kind of boring.
或者有时候他们你们会觉得啊，这个有点boring, yeah.
And I hope I'm closer to the great than the boring today.
所以今天我希望能够不是在那个很枯燥的那一面。
But let me ask you a question.
让我来问你们一个问题。
What was the sermon about last week?
上周的布道的主题是什么？
And what did you do about it as a result of hearing that sermon? How did that affect your life or change the way you react and interact with people in the community?
你听了之后，你的行动是什么？你听了之后，你的变化是什么？你的计划是什么？你和你在社区里面的其他人的互动又有什么变化吗？
Because the pastor is not supposed to be a professor.
因为牧师并不是一个教授。
I mean, I have been a professor as well. I've taught in a theological seminary.
我是说，我是已经是成为一个教授一段时间了。我在神学院里面教课。
And my wife reminds me sometimes when I'm preaching, she says, Mike, don't lecture, preach.
我的太太一直是提醒我告诉我麦克，你不是去讲课，而是去布道。
And you want someone who will teach you solid biblical foundations and help you to understand the scriptures.
你希望有人来教导你一个非常很好的关于圣经的基础。
But the pastor should be more of a trainer or more of a coach.
牧师是应该更多的是一个培训师，更加多的是一个教练。
As a matter of fact, the pastor should be kind of like an old-time tradesman who has people in his shop to apprentice them, to show them how to do things, and then to get them to do the work.
牧师其实更加像一个工匠，他应该招待他的门徒进来，练习他所教导他们的东西。
Ephesians 4:12 says that the pastor is supposed to equip the saints for the work of service.
在以弗所书四章十二节里面，他就提到过，他是说那个，然后 Ephesians four
Ephesians 4:12 or 12, right? Just, yeah, just one second.
哦，对，以弗所书24章十二节这里就说到，如果要成为完全的圣徒的话，那就要各尽其职。
So basically, then the pastor is not the one who's supposed to be doing the work. You all are supposed to be doing the work. The pastor is just supposed to help you do it.
所以说，这个牧者并不是要做完全事的那个人，他是要教导你们去做。
And isn't that what Jesus did?
这个难道不就是耶稣所做的吗？
He taught the 12 and then he sent them out.
他教导了十二个门徒，然后把他们派遣出去。
And then he taught the 70 and he sent them out.
然后他又教导了70个人，也把他们派遣出去。
I noticed even this morning in the first slide, it showed a picture of Jesus and disciples going away from him two by two.
那今天早晨那个这个 slides 前面最第一章的时候，我们就看到，那耶稣就是把门徒一对一对的派遣出去。
But you might say to me, but really though, isn't the church, it's not so much a school as it is like we're a flock of sheep and the pastor is a shepherd.
所以说，教会就像是个学校，也更加像是一群羊。那么，我们的耶稣他也就那个牧者也就是那位牧羊人。
I mean, that's true.
是，的确是这样。
But think about what a shepherd does.
但是想一想，牧羊人是做什么的？
He does protect the flock.
他保护这个羊群，
He does feed the flock.
他也喂养这些羊群。
And he does that primarily through teaching.
可能他是通过他的教导来这样做。
But shepherds raise sheep for a specific reason.
但是牧羊人照顾羊群是有一个目的。
They're not just his pets that he wants to be nice to and take care of.
并不是他的宠物，他想要好好的照顾他们。
But a shepherd raises sheep for a profit.
牧羊人照顾羊群是为了一个利润，
In
是为了一个利益。
Jesus' day, they raised the sheep and they were for shearing to make clothes with.
耶稣说到，牧羊人可以剪羊毛，用一些羊毛来做衣服。
They were raised to be sacrifices in the temple.
羊群可能会是为了以后做献祭用。
My son-in-law owns a small farm, and guess what he raises?
Raise what?
He I said, guess what he raises?
哦，OK，我的女婿他有一个小小的农场你们可以猜猜看他在那里养什么？
He raises sheep.
他在那里就是养羊。
And last week I was down in southern Illinois at his farm helping him because some of the fence got torn down, the sheep got out, we had to put up new fence.
那上一周我就是跑到一周的南部去帮他修理那个农场，因为他的那护栏给垮掉了，有些羊跑掉
But I also helped him take some sheep to market.
了。我也帮助他把一些羊送到市场上去。
Now, the pastor of a church is not going to take any of you to market.
那这个教会的牧者不会把你们送到市场上去。
At least I hope not.
当然我是这样希望。
But the fact is, the pastor is a shepherd not only to care for you and help you to grow, but to prepare you to serve in a way that you were created by God to do.
那牧者不单单只是来喂养你们，他也是要使你们预备好，为以后怎么来服侍神做好准备。
So you could say, in a sense, maybe the congregation is supposed to be a sheep school.
你们也可以说，那会众像我们这样的会众，我们就是一个一学校的羊。
So that's the first metaphor. The second one is that of the church as a family.
那第二个比喻呢，他就是说到教会就像一个家庭。
Before we can actually get into the family, we have to talk about another metaphor, which is called the body of Christ.
那在讲这之前，我们就要讲到，另外有一个比喻，就是说到基督的身体。
You know, a body, and we've talked about this many times when I've been here as well, both in Sunday school and in worship, but a body is the entire, physical thing you've got.
那已经，我在这里的 那主日学和讲道都不断的提到过，那这个基督的身体就是指整个身体。
But sometimes when we think of the church as it exists in the 21st century, we don't really see a body. We just see a bunch of parts that are kind of laying around, not really coming together and working together.
那但是在这个现今的时代，我们往往看到的不是一个整个身体，而是一个身体的部分，这些部分就可能零零散散的来到这里。
When Paul uses the metaphor, the body of Christ, he uses it with the idea in mind that when we all work together, we become the visible manifestation of Jesus in our community.
那保罗用这个基督的身体作为比喻呢，他就是要提醒每个人，我们每个人都是这身体的一部分，都有功用，
And
必须要联合起来。
if every part is not working properly, it doesn't present a very good picture of Jesus to the community.
如果每一部分都不是在很正常的工作，那对于这个社区来讲，我们就不能代表一个好的基督。
The metaphor, though, that we don't see as often, but is still very biblical, is that of a family.
另外一个比喻，我们虽然不常见，但是它就是指家庭。
And again, I want to read this passage from Ephesians 2, 19.
好，那我们看一下以弗所书的，James，别客气，sorry，Ephesians 的第二章的19。
Says, consequently, you are no longer aliens and foreigners, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household.
第十九节这样说道，这样你们不再做外人和客旅，是与圣徒同国，是神家里的人。
The word household there basically means the entire family.
这也就是指家里所有的人。
Now, usually today, when we think of family, we think of just the nuclear family with a father, mother, and a few children.
在现今的时候，我们往往想到的家庭是指核心的家庭，像是父母、儿子、儿女。
But in Jesus' day, the family was the extended family. It went well beyond that. The family included aunts and uncles and grandparents, and they lived close together. And they had to stay together to really be able to survive in the kind of conditions that they had.
耶稣所指的家庭是一个扩展的家庭，那就可能包括你的叔叔阿姨，所有的人，这些人大家都在一起生活。
And it took everybody working together, the combined labor of the entire family, in order to make that happen.
是需要所有的人都在一起联合工作才能成就。
I mean, even grandma and grandpa, old people, contributed something to the upkeep of the entire household because that was what was necessary.
即使是可能老呃长老呃年长的，像是爷爷辈、奶奶辈的，他们也都是能够起到一个联合的作用。
Then, like now, the family was primarily to protect and to provide and to prepare kids for life.
那这样的话，这个家庭就能提供一个保护、供养和喂养的作用。
I mean, it was really important that everyone, again, from the smallest to the largest, pulled their weight and did what they were supposed to do.
那其中就非常重要，每个人都要行使他们自己的责任，行使他们的功用，这样才能使整个家庭在一起。
And so family is important, both for the family's sake and for the church's sake.
所以说，家庭非常重要，不单单只是为了家庭，也是为了整个教会。
Now, when a family doesn't reproduce, there's problems.
如果家庭不能很好的繁衍的话，那就有个问题。
And so I put some pictures on here to kind of illustrate this.
我在这里展现了一些照片。
My son, who's my youngest child, and his wife gave birth last Saturday to their first child.
我的儿子也是我最小的小孩。那在上周，他们有了他们第一个新生儿。
My son's wife's family, her is originally from Haiti.
我的儿子的太太，也就是我的媳妇，他们原先是从海地那里来的。
And this little one's name is Severine Anise Fignolet McQueen.
所以我的孩子的名字是，
You don't have to repeat the whole thing. It's a long name. But the fact is, it's an absolute joy to us to see another grandbaby. This is number four.
所以对我们来说，这是绝对的是一种喜悦，这是我们的第四个孙儿。
And they're a source of pride. And we have a saying that says, if we'd known how much fun grandchildren were, we would have started with them instead of kids.
那我们真的生而被给我们带来非常大的喜悦，我们往往就会在想啊，我们从来没有想到小孩会那么快乐，如果有的话，我们就从这些小小的一 baby 开始。
The other picture is a Christmas picture we had done this year of my whole family.
另外一张照片是我们今年，是我们去年那个圣诞节的一张家庭照。
But as happy as we are with the grandchildren we've got, two of our kids don't even want to have children.
就算我们已经有了那么多的小孩，但是我们的2个儿女，他们却不想要。
And a third one hasn't found a husband yet, and so she's not sure she'll have kids.
第三个，我的女儿她还没有结婚，所以说她都不知道她以后想不想要。
And that kind of makes us sad.
这样呢，却又让我们有时候有些伤心。
Now, thankfully, we don't live in a time where every family member has to be, reproducing and working together in order to survive.
我们当然也不是每个人都必须要生活在一起，繁衍才能生存下去。
But we still, as a family, work together to try to do good in the world and to encourage one another. And we find that as a family, we are able to really be able to extend God's love in ways together that we wouldn't be able to do separately.
但是我们仍旧是作为一个家庭在那里一起生活，能够繁衍后代，能够为着神的爱，能够把他的爱给宣扬出去。
Now, we as a church call ourselves brothers and sisters.
那在教会里面，我们都互相称为弟兄姐妹。
Because that's what we are. We are part of God's family. Jesus is our older brother. God is our heavenly father.
这个就是我们应该所有的身份。那耶稣是我们的大哥，那么神是我们的天父。
And even if sometimes brothers and sisters have some conflict with each other, they still should love each other. They still should work together to make the family everything that it can be.
即使在家庭里面，有时候兄弟姐妹之间会有一些矛盾，但是兄弟姐妹能够应该和睦相处，能够使整个家庭运作。
So it's important that we keep in mind that not only is the church an academy, a school, it's also a family.
所以我们一定要记得，教会不单单只是一个学校，而且是一个家庭。
The third metaphor is that of an army.
那第三个比喻呢，它就把教会形容成就像一支军队。
Now, I think everybody knows what an army is, so I don't have to go into a lot of detail necessarily about the specifics of that.
那我想每个人都知道军队是怎么回事，我并不需要去具体的讲。
But basically, an army is to go to war and to protect and to extend a territory or to protect the territory they've got.
那军队呢，一般性就是要去扩张，或者是去保护神的领地。
This metaphor of the church is probably found more in the writings of Paul than any of the other metaphors we've talked about.
Sorry.
The Apostle Paul talks more about the church as an army than just about any other of the metaphors that we can find.
那保罗讲神的教会像军队，用了很多的篇章，多于他其他的一些比喻。
Ephesians, it says that, we're in a spiritual war. We're supposed to wear armor.
在以弗所书里面，他提到我们是神的军队，我们要着装神的装备。
In 2 Corinthians, it says that we are not fighting against flesh and blood like a real army does, but our battle is against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places.
那在以弗所书哥林多后书里面也提到，我们不是去参加一个血与肉的战争，但是却是在灵里面的战争。
Too often, we think of Christianity as being something more where we accept Christ, we get our ticket punched so we can go to heaven, and we stop.
往往呢，我们都觉得我们基督徒就是在信了以后就拿到了一张通往天国的一张车票，上面打了卡，我们就可以去了。
And it's true that when you become a Christian, you are given the gift of eternal life, and you will live forever in the presence of our Lord.
这个没有错，的确是这样。你成为基督徒以后，你就有了救恩，你就可以去天国。
What doesn't get presented often enough, though, in gospel presentations is that you're not just going to heaven, you are enlisting in God's spiritual army.
但是却没有着重讲到你不单单是以后会要去天国，但是你是更加是一位更加是神的军队里面的一员。
If you have a national army that does not train and is not prepared for combat, what will happen to them when a true battle comes up?
如果你有一支军队，但是却没有得到很好的训练，那如果真正的有战争的时候，该怎么办？
They'll turn and run.
他们只会逃跑。They'll
get horribly defeated.
他们会非常惨败。And
Satan is constantly working to with his army to pull down the church and to pull down families and to destroy everything good that God has done.
撒旦呢，往往就是非常在训练他的军队，要把基督徒的家庭能够给拉垮。And
so for our own sake and for our family's sake and for our church's sake and for our country's sake, we need to recognize that we are the army of God and we must train.
所以为了我们自己，为了我们家庭，为了我们的社区，也为了整个国家，我们要明白我们是一支军队，我们需要能够得到很好的训练。Now,
I've never been in the military.
我从来没有参过军。I
know a lot about military history because I love history.
但是我知道很多关于军队的历史。But
my dad was in the military.
我的父亲是参过军的。I
was born as an Air Force brat, they call this.
我是在空军的基地里面长大的一个小孩。And
my dad, when he first became an airman, they sent him to basic training.
当我父亲参加空军的时候，他们军队里面把他送到去参加基本训练。Everybody
got basic training.
每个人都要做到基础训练。
You learned how to march and how to fire a gun and do all kinds of soldier stuff.
他们要，你们要学习怎么行军，怎么打，怎么射击，所有的那些基础的军队里面的训练。
Now, not all those who go through basic training are going to wind up shooting a gun or flying an airplane.
不是所有人经过基础训练以后就可以去射一把枪或者是飞行。
When my dad finished basic training, they sent him to specialty training.
当我父亲结束他的基础训练以后呢，他们把他送到了一个专业训练地。
And he learned all about supply.
他学到了关于很许多的。He
learned about what kinds of supplies were needed and how they would get from one place to another.
他学到了很多关于供给的东西，从这些供应的后备品，是从怎么从一个地方运到另外地方。
He learned about their cost. He learned about distribution when they arrived where they were supposed to be.
他学他们的成本是多少，他们的运输是怎么样，他们的分配是怎么样。
And my dad ended up being a supply sergeant at a survival training school.
他最终成为了一个 sergeant，上尉。
Non-commissioned officer. Well, or you could say officer.
他就成为了一个军官，是在军队里面掌管他们的供给物品。
Now, the pilots came to the school that he was at, so if they got shot down when they were in the mountains, they would know how to survive. And my dad gave them the supplies they needed.
那当飞行员如果在飞行中被击落，他们要在丛林里面生活，要存活的话，那我的父亲他就会要给他们提供物品。My
dad never fired a gun in anger.
我的父亲从来没有打过一把枪。
He never flew a fighter plane or anything like that.
他也没有开过战斗机。
But if it weren't for my dad, those men who were pilots, if they got shot down over North Korea, then they were dead.
那但是那些真正的飞行员，如果他们在北韩那里参加飞行的时候，如果被击落，他们可能就会死掉。
But with the instruction that they got from the school that my dad was at and the supplies that he was furnishing them with, they were able to have a much better chance of returning home and going back to fight again than they would have otherwise.
那些飞行员如果是按照学校的训练的指示和我父亲给他们的那些供给物品的话，他们的生存的几率就会降大增。
There's something in the military called a tail to tooth ratio.
那么在军事训练里面有一个被称为叫做齿为比的。
You picture a fighting animal, like an alligator.
你会想象你在与一个动物做斗争。
When they're fighting, they're primarily using their teeth, right?
那么动物如果和你打的话，它们往往就是用它们的牙齿。
But they also need their tail to keep balance and to swim and to, get to what they want.
它们也会用它们的尾巴来做平衡。
And the military uses that illustration.
在军队里面训练也往往用这个作为一个展示。
Now, depending on who you talk to in the sources, that tail to tooth ratio mean might be you might have one soldier, one tooth for every four support personnel.
那么有时候他们的这个比例就会是一个士兵，那就是一个牙齿会要有4个，来供应他的。
Or one tooth for every 10 tails that are there.
或者有可能是一个牙齿，一个士兵要有10个尾巴，或者就是10个供给。
One of my former students is in the Navy, and he says it takes 70 support personnel for every one combat sailor.
我的曾经有一个学生，他跟我说过，要有70个供应者。
But when they all work together, they all accomplish the mission.
但是他们都是一同工作，一同为一个目的在那里工作。
Now you can have an army that looks good.
你可能有一支军队，看上去很不错。
And wow, that's a powerful looking army.
你可能会说，这是看上去一个非常强大的军队。
But if it doesn't fight, then it's worthless.
但是如果他们不会作战，那就是毫无价值的。
It's said that during the American Civil War that President Lincoln took a look at General Sherman's army, and it looked great, but it wasn't fighting.
在内战的时候，林肯。他曾经看到 Sherman 将军的军队，就说你有一支很漂亮的军队，
And
但是
so
他们没有真正的作战。
President Abraham Lincoln said to General Sherman, "You have a beautiful little army there. May I borrow it for a while?"
所以林肯就对那个将军说：“你有一支非常漂亮的军队，
Because
能够介意我借用一段时间吗
he wanted to win the war.
？”因为他想要赢战争。
And we are in a war.
我们就是在战争中，
And we may have a beautiful building and a wonderful congregation.
我们可能有一个非常漂亮的教堂，漂亮的会众，
But if we're not making disciples,
但是如果我们没有想到我们是
and
基
if
督徒的话，
we're not sending people out, then we're not going to win this war.
如果我们不派遣人出去的话，那我们就赢不了这场战争。
Well, that brings us to the conclusion.
好，那接下来我们讲一下今天的结论。
And a fourth metaphor.
还有一个第四个隐喻。
And I threw this one in because it's not a biblical metaphor.
这个并不是圣经里面的一个隐喻。
But I heard this in a sermon by Tony Evans a few weeks ago. I just caught the tail end of the sermon. I thought, wow, that's really a great illustration.
但是在几星期之前，我曾经听到过这一篇讲道，然后我觉得这个隐喻非常好。
See, the church is like a medical facility.
他讲到的教会就像是一个医院。
And he said, now imagine if you're really, really sick.
我想象一下，如果你已经非常身患疾病，
You have a life-threatening illness,
可能危及生命的一个疾病，
and you can't save yourself.
你没有办法自己救自己。
And they put you in an ambulance, and they take you to a medical facility,
那他们就把你送到了一个非常良好的医疗机构。
which one do you want to go to?
你想是要去哪一种医疗机构呢？
Do you want to go to the hospital?
你是想要去医院？
Hospital is a place where they have doctors that will put a knife in you and cut you open and just cause all kinds of pain.
医院是一个非常好的地方，他们那里有很多的医生，他们可能会在你身上做手术，虽然会很痛苦。
And they have therapists. After you have your operation, they get you up and they make you work. Oh, this is horrible. It's painful.
也有可能有理疗师，他们会帮助你恢复，虽然也非常痛苦。
And but when you get done at this particular facility, he says, you're able to continue with your life and be productive and to enjoy what you were intended to do.
但是在一切完成之后，他们会跟你说，你可以回到你的正常生活，你可以继续去工作。
He said, or would you rather be taken to a hospice?
或者他们说。你是宁愿被送到临终关怀的地方吗？
A hospice is a place where they take you to die.
那临终关怀的医院是，临终关怀的地方是他们把
The purpose of a
送你
hospice,
去死。哦，sorry，
The purpose of a hospice is to make you as comfortable as possible until you pass.
那临终关怀的是地方，是使你能够在你死之前能够一切都感到舒服。
They don't get you up and move you around.
他们不会把你扶起来，让你到处走动。
They don't inflict any pain.
他们也不会。
They sometimes give you drugs so that you don't feel anything at all.
他们可能会给你一些麻醉药，让你完全感不到任何痛苦。
And then you die.
然后你就会死掉。
Now, which one of those would you prefer to go to if you had a physical problem?
那这两个地方你会倾向于去哪个呢？如果你有身体疾病的话。
I mean, I'm 71 years old, and I still would rather go to the hospital at this point, right?
我虽然已经有70多岁，但是我仍旧。
I got a few good years left in me.
我虽然已经70多岁，但我仍旧想去医院，因为我觉得我还有能活过几年。
Yeah, there may be a time someday when I'm at the end, my body won't work anymore, I'll want good hospice care.
可能在最终某一年我身体都不行的话，我可能会想要去临终关怀。
But Tony Evans says, the church, by and large, in this country, has become more of a hospice than a hospital.
但是 Tony 他曾经说到过，那现今的美国的教会却往往像是一个临终关怀点，而不是一个医院。
It's become a place where people come to be comfortable.
这是教会变成了所有的人来感到欣慰舒服的地方。
They want to know how they can live their life in the most comfortable manner, successfully, and then someday die.
大家来到教会就是想要知道怎么能够感到舒适，怎么能够生活的舒服，然后某一天就可以去世。
That was not what Jesus called us to do.
这个不是耶稣召唤我们所要去做的。
He calls us to make disciples.
他召唤我们是要使人做他的门徒。
He calls us to be an army.
他召唤我们去成为他的军队。
Armies exist to fight battles.
军队存在那里是为了要去战争。
People in armies are constantly getting new training and they're constantly being sent back out.
那军队里的人是不停的要受到训练，不停的要派遣出去。
And that's what we're called to do. That's what, no.
这就是我们被召唤的目的。
So, I'm going to skip up here to, actually, let's do this. We are called as the body of Christ, as the school of Christ, as the army of Christ to grow and to begin to accomplish the purpose that Jesus intended for us.
我们召唤是在成为耶稣的军队，也成为他的身体，成为他的一员。
I put this picture of a tree on this slide because this is what the church is supposed to be like.
我在这里展示了一张树的图。
It may start out as a little bitty seed, but it grows.
这就是教会应该成为的。它可能一开始是一粒种子，然后成长。
If it's in the ground, the roots begin to go deep.
如果在土地里，它的根就会慢慢的生长。
And it grows upward.
在往上也是一样。
And it produces branches.
然后四处这个枝干都会生长出来。
And we are to be like that as a church. We are supposed to put down roots deep in Jesus Christ.
我们教会也应该是这样，我们应该在基督里面扎根。
We are supposed to let his teaching and his spirit dwell in us in such a way that we begin to put, not just put out leaves, but to bear fruit.
让他的教导，让他的真理在我们这里面扎根，然后让我们能够结果。
That takes time.
可能会需要点时间。
And it might take hard work.
也可能需要很多的辛苦劳作。
And it will be different for every congregation, every culture, and every country.
但是我们也有可能在每个教会都不一样，每个国家也都不一样。
But this is what we're called to.
但是这是我们被召唤的目的。
We're not just called to be a building that we put people in on Sundays. We're supposed to be an army that goes out constantly and comes on Sundays to be trained and equipped.
我们并不是被招来就是成为一群人在一个漂亮的建筑里面。我们被召唤来就是成为一个军队，然后要在每个星期受到训练，然后派遣出去。
So you have a choice.
因此你们都有一个选择。
Church or discipleship?
是作为教会还是作为门徒？
Which do you want to be?
哪一个你想成为呢？
Let's pray.
那我们祷告。
Thanks, Father, for your word.
感谢主啊，你的话语。
Thanks, Father, for your Holy Spirit.
感谢你赐下的圣灵。
You have promised us in your word that we would be able to do immeasurably more than all that we could ask or think, according to your power at work within us.
你应许过，我们按照你的话语，我们就能够行所有的事。
Father, please give us a renewed vision of Jesus.
也求你给我们一个更新的愿景。
In his glory, in his majesty, in his power.
他的荣耀，他的神奇。
And then give us a vision of who we are in Jesus, and who you intend for us to grow into be.
也求你让我们看到我们究竟该成为怎样的人。耶稣召唤我们要成为怎么样的人。
Unite your word and your spirit in our lives in such a way that we become all that you want us to be as individuals and as a congregation.
在你的话语和圣灵里面，我们得到联合，然后我们一起作为整个会众，能够成为你要我们成为的人。
And we pray that through this, Lord, you would extend your kingdom and be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen.